Brothers and sisters, this Easter, which we now celebrate together, is indeed a deeply significant day for all God's children, because Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross and died in our place, resurrected in 3 days, we became God's children and received eternal life, being delivered from the punishment of hell. Furthermore, we, members of Mamin Church, understand the love of God in cultivating man, and we press on in the joy of eternal life, hoping for the most beautiful heaven, New Jerusalem. How could we adequately express this love? Even if the sky were a scroll and the sea were ink, we could never write out all the love of God. But there is one thing we must never forget and always keep in mind. If we have truly realized the love of God, then we must diligently eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, thereby coming forth as God's true children. Unless we eat His flesh and drink His blood, there is no life in us. You have hope and faith in the resurrection. But why did you lose that? You used to have that. And you were so happy on Easter, and you also believe that you will live eternally in heaven, and you have such firm faith in it. No matter the circumstance, no matter... Sometimes, but you, some of you find yourself with weaker hope of resurrection. Then this is not true faith. Why should your hope have changed over time? You have to eat and drink the blood of the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. When a baby is born, he has to be provided with breast milk, and he has to grow, and then he starts eating rice. He starts eating a regular meal, and even after he's grown up, but once he stops eating one or three or 3 days, he would lose energy. And of course, we can offer 3-day fasting with God's grace. Even during the 20-day fasting, we could pray fervently, but without God's grace, if we fast, we will lose all our energy once we stop eating. What about our spirit? It's the same. Once our spirit stops eating the body and the blood of the Son of Man, the life in us could be gone. Why should you lose the fullness of the Spirit? Why should you lose your true faith and hope? I hope you realize why through the message today. You have to continually drink and eat and the body and the blood of the Son of Man. Without that process, you don't have life in yourselves. Ultimately, you may end up facing eternal death in hell. May we deeply engrave the grace and love of our Father God, who did not spare even His only begotten Son. Through the communion, let us become blessed believers who clearly understand what we have to do to become true children, repaying the Lord's sacrifice and love, and act accordingly. Brothers and sisters, in today's passage, our Lord compares His flesh and blood to true food and true drink, teaching us the way to eternal life. First, in John chapter 6, verse 51, He says, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever, and the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh." The bread from the Holy Communion, which we are about to attend, represents the true food. It's not about eating bread. Whether it's bread or a rice cake or anything, whether it's made of rice or wheat, So we just use the word bread from the Bible. We are eating the body of Jesus. The bread represents the body of Jesus. We are a piece of bread. This is true food, which represents the flesh of Jesus. Then, how can we eat the flesh of Jesus, which He likened to true food? Does this mean that physically, once we eat the piece of bread, we will have life? We have to know the spiritual meaning contained in the bread, and we have to do that. The flesh, spiritual meaning of the flesh of Jesus. Let me explain. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, the word was God. And verse 14 adds, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, who is the word, came to earth in human form. He is Jesus. Also, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Making it clear that His flesh represents God's Word. Therefore, to eat the flesh of Jesus means to take God's Word, recorded in the 66 books of the Bible, as our spiritual nourishment. Only then can we attain eternal life. Through the Holy Communion, we pick up a piece of bread. That doesn't mean we will have life, but we have to figure out the spiritual meaning contained in the bread, which means the flesh of Jesus. That means the 66 books of the Bible. And to eat the flesh is to take these words as our spiritual nourishment and act accordingly, then we can attain eternal life. But taking God's word as our nourishment is not just about memorizing Bible verses and storing them as head knowledge. It means to meditate on the word day and night, deeply engraving it in our heart, cast off sins and evil, and cultivate our heart and spirit. Some Christians read the Bible 10 times a year. What a great blessing. But even if they read the Bible, if they just keep the word as head knowledge, that doesn't become their life. So, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to take the word as our spiritual nourishment in our head, in our heart, and to figure out the spiritual meaning. For example, we listen to the word, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. We know that we have to rejoice always, regardless of our situation, for our salvation. And we know that we know with our head, but there's a difference between knowing with our head and keeping it in our heart. But some people say that even if they are going through a hard time, even if someone is bothering them, they try to rejoice always. And they know that when they stay joyful and thankful, they can ultimately make peace with even their enemies. They don't lose. We have to know. This is a basic deed of those who take God's word as nourishment. But some people, even though they memorize the Bible verses, their actions are far from the word. These people have the word of God as knowledge in their head. They don't take the word as spiritual nourishment. They don't cast Only then can our heart be cleansed and transformed into a heart of truth and goodness like the Lord. In turn, we can finally restore the image of God that was lost. Some people come to church and attend worship, but even when their sins are pointed out, they do not turn from them and live just like those in the world. However, God finds such people's worship lamentable and spoke firmly against it. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 3 reads, "One who slaughters an ox is like one who kills a person. The one who sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck." One who offers a grain offering is like one who offers pig's blood. Pig is an abominable animal. But if God says that our offering is like the offerings of pig, it's like one who burns incense is like one who blesses an idol, as they have chosen their own ways and their souls delight in their abominations. In the Old Testament times, oxen and lambs were acceptable sacrifices for burnt offerings to God. Dogs and pigs, they were categorized as detestable, could never be used as offerings. But when the people of Israel offered sacrifices of oxen and lambs without reverent fear, God rebuked them, saying it was as detestable as breaking a dog's neck, offering pig's blood, and blessing an idol. Even today, there are those who attend church every Sunday, serve faithfully in their duties, pray, and give many offerings. Yet, they fail to carry out the circumcision of their heart, which is truly important. And they continue to compromise with the world. We have to keep this in mind. You say you are praising God, and you shed tears, and you, during the Passion Week, you think about the Lord's love, and you shed tears and in gratitude. But even after you shed tears, you still hate, you still quarrel, you still make enemies. Then what would our Lord say? He will say, because you make enemies, I shed my blood. Because you are making friends with the world, I went through all the hardships. But even though you are shedding tears in gratitude for my cross, but why aren't you turning away from your sins and evil? This is detestable. You may say, I didn't offer detestable offering, but you have to check your life, whether you have lived according to the word, whether you have eaten and drunk the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. Likewise, God finds their worship detestable and is deeply grieved. Jesus himself sternly rebuked people who lived so, calling them hypocrites. Mark chapter 7 verses 6 through 8 says, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man.'" They may seem to have strong faith and love for God in the eyes of people, but as they are found detestable and without faith, they cannot even be saved in the end. This is what the Lord says to people who do not keep His commandments. Just as one must eat and drink to survive, Jesus taught that we must feed on the flesh of the Son of Man, the Word of God, to have life. When we eat, food enters the stomach and goes through digestion. As it goes through the small and large intestines, nutrients necessary to the body are absorbed. while waste is excreted, the absorbed nutrients become flesh, bones, and blood, allowing the body organs to function normally and our physical life to be sustained. In the same way, the Word of God must not merely remain in the head, but be received into the heart. Then, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can remove filthy and ugly sins and give forth the Spirit, which is the truth. For example, when we hear the word, love one another, and receive it into our hearts, the Holy Spirit helps drive out the attributes of untruth that are opposite to love. Then, what remains in our heart is only love, which is the truth. This is Spirit, and it brings forth life. As we receive each word of truth as nourishment in our hearts and give birth to Spirit through the Spirit, we are gradually transformed into people of truth, people of Spirit, becoming like the Lord and reaching eternal life. Brothers and sisters, next, in addition to eating the flesh of the Son of Man, we also have to drink His blood to receive eternal life. Just as we need not only food, but also water to sustain our physical lives, in eating the flesh of the Son of Man, which is true food, we have to make sure to drink His blood, the true drink, to gain eternal life. Then, how can we drink the blood of the Son of Man? That is, the blood of Jesus. To drink His blood means to truly believe God's word and act accordingly, thereby being cleansed from all sins. The reason that Jesus shed His blood was to redeem us from our sins. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 tells us, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood, by reason of the life, that makes atonement." And Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness." In order to save us who are destined to die because of sin, there had to be the shedding of blood, for life is in the blood. Through this, our sin could be forgiven. However, the blood that forgave sins had to be precious blood with no sins at all. That's why only Jesus, who had no original and self-committed sins, shed His precious blood. So, whoever believes in Jesus Christ can receive the forgiveness of sins. But, if we truly believe in the Lord's precious blood, these should follow according to that faith. Namely, we say, we believe in you, we are forgiven, we have been redeemed. Even if you say that 100 times, if these don't follow, you cannot be declared forgiven. Then what is truly being forgiven? You have to sin no more. You should no longer live in sin, but diligently act according to the word. Once you've been forgiven, you are not to commit sins. If you continue to commit sins, even if after you being forgiven, how could you be truly be forgiven? You have to diligently make efforts to become a person who doesn't commit sins. This is how you drink the blood of the Son of Man. A person who used to lie should lie no more. One who used to hate and quarrel should now forgive and love. And one who used to take advantage of others should be transformed into someone who dedicates and sacrifices for the good of others. This is what it means to drink the blood of the Son of Man. To such people, God cleanses their sins through the blood of His Son, Jesus. Whenever we have the Holy Communion, we are quoting this verse. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 reads, This is serve as a standard to check whether we are eating and drinking this flesh and blood of the Son of Man. It says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We say, I believe God, but God may say, I don't know you. That means we don't have fellowship. If we have fellowship, we know someone and someone knows us. And once our relationship goes deeper and deeper, we become an intimate relationship, and we know what she or he likes, his taste, his personality, everything. We know that God is our Father, and we have the authority to become His children, and we have the Holy Spirit coming upon us, and we have to, and as we eat and drink the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, we walk, come into the light, and as you walk in the light, we become closer and closer to God. Being closer to God is better than, is incomparable to having riches and honor. Even it cannot be compared to having connections with someone with a power. If we are close to God, if we have problem, God help me. And then God will say, all right, I will answer you. Things happen quickly because you are closer to God. But unless you are close to God, you have to find many ways to meet Him. You have to first break down the wall of sin. If your wall of sin is thick, you have to fast and pray and offer vowed prayer. Then, even if the wall of sin is demolished, God cannot answer you immediately. Let's say you've been a long Christian, but you didn't live according to God's word, but you just followed your own benefit. And when you are in trouble, you just cry out to God. That doesn't mean you are close to God. You need time to be close to someone. Likewise, you have, but if you live without love for God, if you didn't show faithfulness to God, and just because you are in trouble, you are seeking God and you are asking God to help, how could you God answer you? So that means it will take a lot of time. So you can ask your pastor to pray for you, but you also have to satisfy the justice. So you have to first break down the wall of sin. Then when your pastor prays for you, your problems will be resolved. For example, it's important for us to have an intimate relationship with God. And the secret is to eating the flesh and the blood of the Son of Man and live in the light, just as He is in the light. This is and John chapter 1 verse 7, and if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. Even if we receive salvation, the result is not the same. In order to have perfect salvation, you have to live in the light. Therefore, when we turn away from sin and walk in the Word of God, who is light, God counts it as faith and grants us eternal joy and blessings in heaven. This isn't to say that we can be saved only if we perfectly live by the Word from the very beginning of our Christian life. Even if we still struggle with certain sins due to our weak faith, as long as we pray and make efforts to cast them off one by one, God acknowledges this as faith. But today, so many Christians attend church just routinely without understanding the spiritual meaning of eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man. They think that merely confessing faith with their lips is enough for salvation, and that one can be saved even if they remain in sin and live as friends of the world. But God says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 that if someone claims to have fellowship with Him, yet walks in the darkness, that person is lying. Therefore, truly believing in the love of the Lord in your heart, I urge you to earnestly eat His flesh and drink His blood, and press on towards sanctification and New Jerusalem with even greater zeal. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Himself instituted the Holy Communion and commanded, "Do this in remembrance of me." This was to lead us to forever remember God's love, who saved us from our sins, and the grace of the Lord, who became the atoning sacrifice for us. Whether it has been a day, several months, years, or even decades since we accepted the Lord, if we live each day remembering the grace we have received, we will naturally and diligently eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. For this is the surest way to repay the great love of the Father who gave His only begotten Son for us, and the grace of the Lord who did not spare His own life. Furthermore, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." The Lord earnestly asks us to continue proclaiming the gospel until He returns. Therefore, we have to go further than just knowing and being satisfied with the blessed message of salvation and the word of sanctification. We have a mission to share it with many others in the world. I call on you to carry a burning love for God and passionately preach the gospel, leading countless souls to the path of salvation. By doing so, I pray in our Lord's name that you will quench the Lord's thirst, return the price of His blood, and reach the glorious position in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.